Welcome to the SportsCapping.com podcast with free handicapping advice, odds insights, picks, and predictions to help you beat the sportsbook. And now your hosts, Jack Jones and Brandon Lee.
It's your host, Jack Jones, with the SportsCapping.com free pick podcast. Fellow handicapper Brandon Lee will be back with me today. Brandon and I suffered through a 1-3-1 week on the free picks last week. I was 1-1. I lost on the Falcons -3 in the NFL. They were up 16 on the Bears in the fourth quarter. Somehow lost that game outright thanks to some heroics from Nick Foles replacing Mitch Trubisky in the second half. That's something I did not handicap. I won my 10-point teaser on the Colts -1, Cowboys +15, and Packers +13. My free play in college football on Georgia State -3 over Charlotte got postponed. Turns out their COVID-19 positive tests were read incorrectly. They had 4 positive tests on Thursday. They were retested again on Friday, and all the results came back negative, but they had already canceled their flight to Charlotte, so they couldn't play, and what a shit show that was. Brandon went 0-2-1 last week. Welcome back to the podcast, man. We had a tough week, but please recap for listeners your picks last week as we give them all of our wins and losses.
Yeah, I had a push on Louisville +3 in college. Pretty fortunate there. Cardinals quarterback Malik Cunningham, who I'm pretty high on, had about as bad a game as I've seen him play. 107 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions, completed just 9 of 21 passes. Good thing that Pitt offense, you know, took its foot off the gas and has a lot of limitations. So that helped that one from being an 0-3 week. So in the NFL, I had the Titans -2.5. They ended up winning by just 1 against the Vikings. This one stung a little, just as expected. Tennessee marched up and down the field against an awful Vikings defense. They just couldn't finish off drives, especially early on. Steven Gostkowski, he went 6-for-6 on field goals. Sometimes that's just how it goes. I don't think many people would have been looking to take Minnesota had you told them Tennessee was going to put up 31 in that game and probably should have had 40. I also lost my 6-point teaser in the NFL. I had a 2-team with the Pats and Cardinals, both from -6 basically down to a pick 'em. New England beat Oakland as expected, but Arizona suffered a surprising loss at home to the Lions. Turnovers really killed the Cardinals in that game. They were -3 in the turnover department. They also failed to score in the fourth quarter. Just an unfortunate week, and we'll look to get back in business this time around.
Yeah, a couple tough losses at the NFL for us. I mean, the Titans not covering the 2.5-point spread, but winning the game outright, settling for 6 field goals, and the Falcons blowing that 16-point lead. But it happens. Brandon's now 6-2-1 on the podcast this season after starting 6-0. I'm 5-3 on the podcast. That makes us still a very profitable 11-5-1 on the season. Now, 207 wins, 151 losses, 12 pushes last 5 seasons, 57.8% winners. Bet $1,000 a game on these, you'd be up over 40,000. Brandon, how are your premium picks doing, and where can listeners sign up for a premium package from you?
Yeah, everything's going really well. I got a bunch of good streaks going across multiple sports. 76-46 long term, 62% last 122 NFL, and that includes a 22-10 run over my last 32. Got a 19-10, 66% run in college football, 63% over my last 43 in the NBA, 59% last 81 MLB. Also cashed 20 out of 27 of my 50-star football top plays. So everything's going really well, and you can find me at sportscapping.com.
All right. Saturday I went 4-1 in college football. Had a great day, but unfortunately 1-4 in the NFL last week. Lost every fourth quarter in the NFL Sunday when all my teams were covering late. It happens. 11-5 in college football on the season, 8-7 in the NFL. Number one ranked college football capper all time at sportscapping.com. 28-13 college football run dating back to the bowl season. 213 wins, 154 losses in the NFL, my last 367 picks, so very good long-term in the NFL, too. All kinds of premium package options for you guys. Good time for a 30-day pass for $3.99 with the new month upon us. This package will get you all my football NBA finals and MLB playoff picks the next 30 days. All right, Brandon, let's give the listeners what they want, which is some free picks winners on the gridiron this weekend. Start us out with your college football free pick for Saturday.
All right, I'm going to take the Arkansas Razorbacks +18 on the road against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I think this is an ideal spot to fade Mississippi State. Bulldogs come in off a massive upset of number 6 LSU. Mississippi State won the game 44-34. They went off as a 14.5 point dog, but were much higher than that throughout the week. In fact, I cashed a 50-star top play on them at plus 17. I'd be lying if I said that I thought they were going to put up 40-plus points and KJ Costello was going to throw for 600 yards. However, I bet on Mississippi State in that game because of what I thought LSU was, or what they weren't, to be exact. The Tigers couldn't be more overrated coming into this season, and we've seen them drop all the way back to number 20 in the polls with that loss to Mississippi State, and I don't think this is a top 25 team at all, and I don't think LSU is going to end up with a winning record. Regardless of how overrated LSU was, that doesn't change how motivated Mississippi State was for that game. Anytime you get a chance to play the defending champion, you show up with your best, and that's what they did. Asking them to bring that same intensity into this game is asking a lot. After losing their opener to Georgia at home, Arkansas has lost 20 straight conference games. Not to mention, on top of that, easily overlooking this Razorbacks team, Mississippi State's got a three-game gauntlet after this. They go at Kentucky, they host Texas A&M, and then they go at Alabama. And I'm just not taking Arkansas because of the spot. I like this team a little bit. I'm a fan of their head coach, Sam Pittman, even more so offensive coordinator Kendall Briles. They also brought in former Florida quarterback Felipe Franks to guide the offense. They only scored 10 against Georgia. But, you know, that's a defense that many considered to be the best overall defensive unit in the country coming into the year. I'm confident that the Razorbacks are going to be able to move the ball against this Mississippi State defense. And they still got a lot of holes, and they're learning a new scheme as well in that new 3-3-5 defense. So I think Arkansas can make a game of this, and I just have a really – I think Mississippi State's going to have a really tough time showing up. So give me the Razorbacks plus 18.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a good spot to go against Mississippi State off their huge win at LSU. Arkansas did hang tough against Georgia, really, and was only outgained by 107 yards by a very good Georgia team, held Georgia to less than 400 yards of offense. But Mike Leach's air raid attack was hitting on all cylinders against LSU right away, which is surprising. And Stanford transfer KJ Costello looks like the perfect fit at quarterback, threw for 623 yards, 5 touchdowns against LSU. The Bulldogs still won that game despite turning the ball over 4 times. It's probably the most talent that Leach has ever had at any program, and it's hard to trust Arkansas with a new head coach in Sam Pittman this early in the season. The Razorbacks, as you mentioned, have now lost a school record 20 straight SEC games. But I get the situational play here, and I think, if anything, the value is with Arkansas this week. But as much as I love underdogs, I don't even know if I can stomach this one enough to make it an official pick of mine, but I'm proud of you for doing it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I just think Mississippi State's a little overrated from the win over LSU. I just don't think LSU's got good at all.
Agreed 100% on that. Mississippi State, I think, might have jumped up to like 14th in the polls, and they're not 16th. All right, they're not the 16th best team in the country.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that spot, man. I really do. All right, I'm going to go with Iowa State plus 7 at home against Oklahoma. This line is just crashing, but we're going to still give it out a plus 7 as long as it's a touchdown or more. Oklahoma just lost outright to Kansas State as a 28-point favorite. It's the same Kansas State that lost as a 15-point favorite over Arkansas State in their opener. And that was an Arkansas State team that was playing without 10 starters due to COVID-19. So to say that was a bad loss by Oklahoma is an understatement. And it's clear the Sooners have another soft defense this year after giving up 38 points to Kansas State. Iowa State's loss to Louisiana Lafayette was way more forgivable. They gave up 2 special teams touchdowns, and it was a misleading final score of 14-31. They also gave up a touchdown in the final seconds when they had pretty much given up. Louisiana is a top 25 team, one of the best non-Power 5 teams in the country. The Cyclones did bounce back last week with their 37-34 win at TCU despite giving up another non-offensive touchdown on this ridiculous backwards pass by Brock Purdy that went straight for a touchdown for TCU. But Iowa State's going to want revenge from their 1-point loss to Oklahoma last year, in which they went for 2 and failed in a 41-42 setback at Oklahoma. Few teams have played Oklahoma as tough as Iowa State in recent seasons. Each of the last 4 meetings were decided by 10 points or less. Lincoln Riley's only 1-8 against the spread in road games after a game where they forced no turnovers as Oklahoma's head coach. Matt Campbell, 10-2 against the spread as a home underdog as the coach of Iowa State. And the Cyclones are going to have 15,000 fans this week at home, which will make a difference. They didn't have any fans for their opener against Louisiana. This is a game the Cyclones can win outright, and at the very least, they shouldn't lose by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, I love this play. In fact, I locked it in as a premium pick at Iowa State plus 7.5 a couple days ago. Iowa State, you mentioned they played well against Oklahoma. They're 4-0 against the spread under Matt Campbell against the Sooners, covering by an average of 17.1 points per game. Campbell, not only just good as a home dog, he's just good as a dog in general, 20-8 ATS, getting points. I like the fact that they're going to have fans. I like that it's a night game. Iowa State also will be wearing black uniforms, just the fourth time in school history. Perfect 3-0 with these uniforms. It might not seem like a lot, but players, they get excited for shit like that when they wear these special uniforms. I don't know why, but they do. I also stumbled across this on Twitter. FBS teams like Oklahoma coming off a home loss as a 23-plus point favorite where they gave up 30 or more points are 1-15-1 against the spread in their next game if they're favored against an unranked opponent. Not only are they struggling to cover, they're just 9-8 against, or 9-8 straight up, and they're failing to cover in these games by over 10 points per game. As far as Oklahoma, they're going to have a good offense under Riley, but this is, I think, a little bit different year than what they've had in the past with redshirt freshman Spencer Rattler at quarterback. You know, the last 3 years, he got to start off his collegiate coaching career with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. So all three guys in the NFL. Rattler, I think, is a guy that's going to be good, but I think he's young and he's going to make mistakes. And we saw that against Kansas State, 3 interceptions. He also didn't look well at the end of that game in terms of, you know, just his, I don't know, just the way he played late was not something that I thought was good. Another thing that with Oklahoma and their offense, everyone focuses on their quarterback play. The one thing that this team has been able to do really well under Lincoln Riley is run the football. Over his first 3 seasons, they've averaged 200-plus rushing yards each year, over 240 the last two. They only had 130 on 35 attempts against K-State. Same K-State defense that gave up 159 yards on 33 attempts to Arkansas State. And you mentioned all those guys that they missed. Iowa State only giving up 2.7 yards per carry against the run. I like this Cyclones defense. I like them playing at home. I think they can make this Sooners offense a little bit one-dimensional. I think Rattler makes a few more mistakes here, and I would not be surprised if Iowa State wins this game outright.
I like it, man. I'm glad you're in big agreement. And you had some awesome stats in there. That 1-15 against the spread was nice. Probably just goes to show that a 23-point favorite or more just comes into the season way overrated, and it shows again the next week. Yeah, I like it, man. Definitely sprinkle some money line, guys. Let's go to the NFL this week. What do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to give a rare total on the podcast. I'm going to take the Jaguars and Bengals over 49. This total's been climbing here of late. I'm expecting a lot of offensive fireworks on both sides of the ball. We got two talented young signal callers facing off in Joe Burrow and Gardner Minshew. Let's start off talking about Burrow and the Bengals offense. Cincinnati's not holding back with their rookie quarterback. Burrow's 141 pass attempts are second only to Cowboys' Dak Prescott for the entire league. He's the 12th ranked starting quarterback, according to PFF, Pro Football Focus. What's impressive with Burrow is he's producing despite being under constant pressure. He's been sacked a lot. I think he's on pace to set the record. I don't know the exact numbers. But one thing to note with that, they faced three really good defensive lines in the Chargers, Browns, and Eagles. They all got a lot of talent up front. The Jaguars got a decent defensive end in Josh Allen, but the rest of that unit's trash. Jacksonville as a team has 2 sacks in their first 3 games. They only managed 1 sack last week against the Dolphins, and they have a pretty much, in my rankings of offensive lines, they're about right there even with Cincinnati, both really bad. But if they can't get pressure on Fitzpatrick, I think Burrow is going to have some time in the pocket. I think it's going to allow him to make a few more plays downfield. And I also think it's going to help the Bengals have a more balanced attack with the run game, and they'll sustain some drives and finish them off in the red zone. As for Minshew and the Jaguars offense, they put 27 up in week one against a Colts defense that's leading a lot of categories right now. And then they put 30 on the road against the Titans in week two. They did struggle last week on Thursday Night Football, only putting up 13 against the Dolphins. However, they did not have one of their best, maybe their best receiver in DJ Chark. While he's only practicing on a limited role and is listed as questionable, everything I've read is he's going to be good to go on Sunday. Bengals ranked 14th in scoring defense, which is decent at 24.7 points per game, but they're way back 24th in total defense, giving up almost 400 yards per game at 392.3. Thing is that they held the Chargers to just 13 points, and that was back when LA was handicapping themselves with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. They also held the Eagles to 23, but against, you know, Carson Wentz, who I think everyone knows is not playing well, 33rd out of 35 ranked quarterbacks at PFF. Only defensive offense that they face so far is the Browns, and Cleveland is far from an offensive juggernaut. Browns put up 35 points, 434 yards against them. Even if the Bengals get back all-pro defensive tackle Geno Atkins, that rest of that front seven is garbage. I think these two teams are going to have no problem eclipsing 50 points. Not only will I be on the over 49, but I'll also be on the over 23.5 for the first half.
Yeah, man, there's a lot to like about this over. Two of the worst defenses in the NFL. Jaguars giving up 28 points a game. Bengals giving up 25 points a game. I like what I've seen from both Joe Burrow and Gardner Minshew. Burrow's offensive line has been getting him killed, but the Jaguars lack that pass rush to threaten him. As you said, only two sacks in three games this season. The Bengals are also failing to get a pass rush this season. So both quarterbacks should have plenty of time to pick apart these poor defenses. The Bengals do have the more talent as a whole, and I'd lean them -3, and I'd also lean with the over as well with you here, Brandon.
Yeah, I definitely, if you're somebody that just can't play a total, I also would side with the Bengals -3.
All right, I'm going to take the Dolphins +6.5 at home against the Seahawks. It's a good time to sell high on the Seahawks. They're 3-0 straight up, 3-0 against the spread to start the season. This despite a terrible defense that's given up 28.7 points, 497 yards per game, coming off two straight last-second home wins over the Patriots and Cowboys. They stopped the Patriots on the one-yard line when they were going in for the win. Then they picked off Dak Prescott in the end zone to preserve their win over the Cowboys last week. This just has the makings of a letdown spot for Seattle. Now going on the road to face the Dolphins. It's a West Coast team traveling east for that early dreaded 10 a.m. body clock game. Dolphins are 1-2, but they had their chances against the Patriots. Only lost 28-31 to the Bills, who are 3-0. And last Thursday dominated the Jaguars every way you can in a 31-13 road win as three-point underdogs. That means the Dolphins are now playing on extra rest, so they'll have more time to prepare for the Seahawks after playing on Thursday. And this team really believes in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who completed 90% of his passes against the Jaguars last week. Seahawks have all kinds of injuries right now. They're missing several players in the secondary and at linebacker. Both starting guards got hurt against the Cowboys and are questionable. Russell Wilson's definitely good, but I don't think he can carry this team as much as it's going to take for them to win this game by 7 points or more on the road. Plays against favorites who are off a home win in the first month of the seasons are 81-43 against the spread the last 10 seasons. What do you got in this one, Brandon?
Yeah, situationally, not a great spot for Seattle, having to travel, you know, maybe the longest trip in the NFL. I'm trying to think if there'd be a longer one, but definitely one of the longest. And then you got the extra rest with Miami. With that said, there's no way I'm betting against Russell Wilson with the way he's playing. Seattle's offense has been electric to start the season. 38, 35, 38 points over their first three games. Wilson's thrown for almost 340 yards a game. I think he has a record 14 touchdown passes over the first 3 weeks of a season. I get Miami's defense play better against the Jags, but I mentioned, you know, Minshew was without his best wideout in Chark. This is also the same Dolphins defense that we saw give up 415 passing yards and four touchdowns to Josh Allen, who is definitely better, but I still don't think he's as great as people are giving or making him be. As for the Seahawks defense, they have not been good. There's no sugarcoating that. One thing you can say about it is they have faced three really, really good offenses in their first three games. Matt Ryan and the Falcons, Cam Newton and the Patriots, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I love me some Fitzmagic as much as everybody else, but this Miami's offense is nowhere near as potent or talented as those three teams. I think the Dolphins got to score 30 to cover. I just don't know if they can. This would be a pass for me on the spread. If I had to play it, I'd probably just take the over at 54.5, with just how high scoring all these games have been.
Yeah, the overs have been hitting at a great rate this season. I don't mind that over either, man. Let's give the listeners a couple NFL teaser winners. Brandon, what's your favorite teaser for week four NFL?
All right, I'm going to do a three-team 10-point teaser. I'm going to tease the Rams from minus 13 down to minus 3. I'm going to do the same tease with the Ravens, minus 13 down to minus 3. And then lastly, I'm going to tease the Cardinals up from minus 3.5 to plus 6.5.
Yeah, no disagreement here. These are three teams that I expect to win this week, playing three of the worst teams in the NFL, and the Giants, Washington, and the Panthers. I'm going to go with a six-point teaser this week on the Bucks minus 1, Bears plus 8.5. Some good teaser numbers here. Bucks from minus 7 down to minus 1 at home against the Chargers. Been impressed with the improvement of Tom Brady and the Bucks the last 2 weeks. The Bears, I'm taking from plus 2.5 up to plus 8.5 at home against the Colts. Colts have played a very soft schedule, and I think they're overrated because of it. Lost to the Jaguars and then beat the Vikings and Jets. Bears by far the best team and defense the Colts have faced yet. And I just think the Bears should be able to stay within a touchdown, win the game outright, especially with Nick Foles at quarterback now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Chicago is getting a little disrespected in that game.
All right, I like both of our teasers this week, man. Brandon, give the listeners your Twitter handle and where they can find more free picks from you.
Yeah, you can find me at B Lee Sports Picks. Definitely give out a lot more plays and leans on Twitter than I do for the premium players. So if you want some, if you're an action junkie and just want some advice without paying for the service, you can do it there. But if you want my best picks, you gotta pay for them.
Yeah, you can also get free picks from me daily on Twitter at BetFirmsJack. My UFC free picks have been on fire.
They have.
We went 5-1-1 2 weeks ago for plus 6.85 units on a 1-5 unit scale, which is what I do for Twitter. Make it easy for everyone. Went 6-2 last week in the Costa Adesanya pay per view for plus 18.4 units. Cashed in three big underdog winners on Blachowicz plus 235, Roy Val plus 190, and Knight plus 135. So we had a lot of fun going back and forth with my Twitter followers during that card. So there was a lot of celebrating. Hopefully there's more to come Saturday for UFC Fight Island 4. Brandon, thanks for coming on again, man. It's always fun to talk to you. Let's bounce back this week.
All right, man. Take her easy.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Sign up for a premium package from Brandon and I at sportscapping.com or betfirm.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, and best of luck on the gridiron this weekend.
Thanks for listening to the SportsCapping.com podcast. For more free picks and predictions, be sure to visit us at SportsCapping.com.